And now, here on BBC Radio 3, here's Julian Joseph with Jazz Lineup.
Hello. Today's edition is a special Scandinavian-themed programme. I'll have two of Scandinavia's finest musicians in the studio performing in session. Award-winning saxophonist Marius Nasset and tuba player Daniel Herskedal, whose singular collaboration together investigates their musical empathy with a kaleidoscope of nuances. First up, let's go to Finland in the company of the Five Corners Quintet. Habib's Habit from the album Hot Corner by the Five Corners Quintet, featuring saxophonist Timo Lassi and the trumpeter Jukka Eskola. The album is out on the Ricky Tick Records label. But it's to Norway the compass will be pointing for our very special music session coming up later on the programme, featuring two bright stars in saxophonist Marius Nasset and tuba player Daniel Herskedal. So, by way of a preview, here's an example of their collaboration. From their album Neck of the Woods, this is the title track.
Thank you.
It's great to be in Glasgow at the BBC Scottish headquarters, Pacific Quay, whose studios lie on the banks of the River Clyde. There's a great sense of excitement here as the two musicians we just heard on that recording, sax man Marius Nesset and tuba player Daniel Herskedal, are preparing for a very special duo session in Studio One on the ground floor of the building. All that coming up later on the programme. We move now to one of Denmark's most celebrated musical sons, in bassist Niels Henning Ørsted Pedersen, famous for collaborations with Kenny Drew, Dexter Gordon and Mulgrew Miller. Here's a concert with two of his most well-known collaborators, the iconic pianist Oscar Peterson and guitarist Joe Pass. This is a live recording of this trio at spectacular tempo on Peterson's Place Saint-Henri. Thank you. La Saint-Henri, played at a breakneck pace by Oscar Peterson, Joe Pass, and our special Scandinavian jazz talent, Niels Henning Orsted Pedersen, on the bass. Well, we hop across now to Sweden to hear the highly celebrated vocalist Victoria Tolstoy. And if you recognize the famous last name, Victoria happens to be the great-great-granddaughter of Leo Tolstoy. Victoria generally comes up with themed recordings focusing on musical aspects that interest her, and in 2011 focused on the music of pianist Herbie Hancock. This is her version of the seminal jazz funk standard Butterfly.
Secrets and the ways to love every moment.
Victoria Tolstoy and her personal take on the music of Herbie Hancock, and that was Butterfly from the album Letters to Herbie, out on the ACT label. Now we move from Sweden to Norway and the pianist Tord Gustafsson, who has recorded for many years, establishing a solid output in collaboration and notably with his own trio, ensemble and quartet. Well, it's with his quartet that we're going to hear him, and this is Staying There.
Thank you.
Norwegian pianist Tord Gustafsson with his quartet and Staying There from the album Extended Circle, out now on the ECM label. Tori Brunberg was on tenor, Mats Eilertsen was on bass, and Jarle Vesperstad completes the quartet on drums. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with a special Scandinavian-themed show with me, Julian Joseph, on FM, online and on digital radio. And stay tuned for a very special music session coming up later featuring Norway's finest, Marius Nesset on saxophone and on tuba, Daniel Herskedal. Well, up next is our Now's the Time feature with Kevin Legendre, who has picked an intriguing album from 1986 by Indian master percussionist Zakir Hussain that fits perfectly with our Scandinavian concentration. Welcome, Kevin. What's the album and how does it connect to today's Scandinavian theme?
The album is Making Music, and the obvious connection is the presence of the great Jan Gabarek on tenor and soprano saxophones.
It's a very special album. It's very evocative. And this sense of folk, this sense of musical traditions colliding, mixing, you know, creating new sounds, it's really fascinating.
It's really jazz as universal music, that whole principle that drove people like John Coltrane towards Ravi Shankar, reaching out to other traditions and other forms of folk music, as you say, which is the root, is the real foundation of this. But the other thing which I think is very, very important, which you referred to, is the incredible atmospheres that are created in this record. It's a masterful example of how you can really create moods and very, very strong musical climates just through very, very careful use of sounds. And I think the lineup is really the masterstroke. But let's hear some music first, just to give us a flavour, and then we'll come back to the musicians.
What have you got up first?
It's not the title track, but it kind of, it defines the record in a lot of ways. It's called Zakir.
Well, let's have a listen. From Making Music, this is Zakir. Thank you. closing gently there as it opened. That was Zakir, taken from the album Making Music from the master Indian classical percussionist Zakir Hussain. Kevin, what a wonderful piece of music.
Fantastic piece of music and a fantastic showcase for the lineup of this record. Yanga Barak, as I mentioned, is on tenor and soprano saxophones. John McLaughlin on acoustic guitar, not electric, but acoustic guitar. That really, really is a very important element of the sound. And also, not to be left out at all, on bansuri flute, Hari Prasad Chaurasia, who is another great musician from the Indian classical music tradition, who Western listeners will know because he was the man who actually played bansuri flute on the Beatles' Inner Light in 1968.
Oh, you see.
So there's an incredible history there. And if you're talking about histories that sort of intertwine and overlap on this record, then we really should mention the empathy between John McLaughlin and Zakir Hussain, who played together a good decade before this record was made in the group Remember Shakti. And as we know, McLaughlin has engaged with Indian music for many, many years. He was doing that right from the late 60s. So this record was recorded in 1987. So there's a good 20 years of history of these musicians, or McLaughlin and Hussain in particular, kind of having this empathy, really engaging with this fertile ground of jazz meeting Indian music, classical music, folk music, these things coming together. And you really hear it in that track in particular.
Yeah, and there's a beautiful medieval quality even there with the flute in particular.
Absolutely. It's the flute which has a slightly baroque quality. What I love about the bansuri is just this low, airy, breathy, slightly muffled resonance that you have, which always makes me think, especially in the way that Hari Prasad Chaurasia plays it every so often, it makes me think of birds, of bird song. So if you want to explain the music by imagery, you could say you have McLaughlin and Hussain grounded, as it were. They're creating the earth, and Gabarek and Chaurasia are creating the air. They're sort of floating over the top of this kind of this very earthy, grounded sound bed that the guitar and the tabla create.
Let's talk a little bit about Jan Garbarek, because he has this life-affirming sound that really adds a special quality to the sound of this music and to the sound of every music he's involved in.
Well, he's a great collaborator. I think it's very significant that in the decade before this record was made, he made, I'm sure you know, these other great records with Edberto Gismonti, the great Brazilian guitarist and pianist virtuoso, and Charlie Hayden, where they were investigating a lot of Amazonian folk music. So he's always been somebody who's interested in, I think, any kind of folk music from around the world. And I read an interview once where he talked about his first experience of playing with Indian musicians and hearing folk music from either India or Pakistan, which he thought reminded him a lot of Nordic folk music as well. So I think he certainly buys into this whole idea. Again, it goes back to Coltrane, of the universal sound.
So, Kevin, what are we going to hear next from this wonderful album?
We're going to hear Sunjog, which really encapsulates, I think, the magic of the balance, that the way that these musicians are in perfect harmony with each other, and the way that they implement the principle which a lot of musicians talk about but rarely achieve, and that is the whole being greater than the sum of the parts. There's this real sense of the music actually breathing after this very dark, very fraught, very broody intro from Gabarek, where you hear him playing a lot with silence and space, where he's leaving these gaps that are very, very evocative in the music. You hear the other instruments come in slowly, McLaughlin with this very hazy, almost kind of country blues little riff, these chords that he has that are very dusty, very, very full of this earthy sound that I was talking about. And then slowly and gradually, the other elements, the tabla and the flute, they come in and then they drop out occasionally as well. So you have this sense of musicians almost like dancing partners. They're kind of inviting each other to dance and then they stop. Somebody else comes in, they change partners. The dance continues in another form. And then again, it stops, and the configuration just changes constantly.
Yet they all get to flex, you know, and show what they've got.
But that's what I'm saying, that kind of balance. It's like everybody plays, but nobody overplays. That's what makes the magic of the music.
And also you've got John McLaughlin who sets up the raga. He sets up the time, space, and the form in which they're playing. And that's what they have to, that's the glue that holds everything together. So even when they're not playing, that rhythmic space exists and they're all adhering to it.
Absolutely. You've got the pulse running underneath, that sense of the underlying rhythm, even if it's not stated, it's there. And you can actually see that being reinforced, Julian, that point. If you look at the album, there's a great picture of the four musicians in the studio. They're all sat on the floor and they're clapping. They're practicing some kind of rhythm. Garbarek and McLaughlin are clapping. Zakir Hussain and Hari Prasad Chaurasia, they're looking at each other. There's this great sense of communication of the musicians being bound rhythmically.
Well, let's have a listen to Sanjog. Sanjog from the Zakir Hussain album of 1987 called Making Music. Beautiful there, Kevin.
It's playful as well, especially the way that it ends.
Yeah.
Those little triplets, bang, and it's gone. There's this dancing quality that I talked about before, which you really have it in that track in particular. Because elsewhere on the album, it's very meditative, very contemplative, but they come alive on that piece in particular.
In fact, while we were listening, we were just saying that you can't get enough of Zakir Hussain.
Well, what's great about him is the fact that he's not just a tabla maestro, he's a percussionist. I think the other instrument that he uses quite a lot on this record is a clay pot. Those slightly higher metallic sounds that you have kind of pinging into life throughout the record, which add a lot just in terms of the tonal quality. He plays that beautifully, and I think he also plays a kind of tampura drone at some point, and he also sings as well.
Let's get deeper into this aspect of folk music and cultures and how it collides. We're having a Scandinavian theme right now, and it seems that the Scandinavian folk music really imbues itself in musicians from there. And really one of the greatest examples is Jan Garbarek.
Absolutely. He is somebody who I think has been interested in folk music in Scandinavia for a long time, and the idea of adapting folk songs that maybe nobody knows when they were written, that have always been around, you know, that sense of an eternal melody, a melody that is just there, and you can't say when it started, and you certainly can't say when it's going to end, that's been part of his aesthetic from a long time. But as we mentioned before, I think he's also very interested in the idea of connections between folk cultures from around the world. So just 4 or 5 years after this record was made, he also made another great record, which almost made it as the Now's the Time, with Usted Fatih Ali Khan and folk musicians from Pakistan, called Ragas and Sagas.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, in terms of his engagement with folk culture, not just Nordic folk culture, but folk culture universally, that says it all. That really sums it up.
What are we going to end on?
We're going to end on the title track, which is, I think, probably the best encapsulation of the record. The thing that I'd say, just to make it clear as to why this is so good, is because they're true to the title. The title is Making Music, which is so obvious that we overlook the real significance of it. Lots of musicians make sounds, and they can be very virtuosic, but sometimes they don't make music. And what these guys are doing is making music because they're really listening to each other and they're respecting silence and space as well as their instruments.
And there are different types of virtuosity.
Absolutely. There's the virtuosity where you create a very strong effect by leaving things out, by playing not so many notes, by letting things breathe, by stepping aside and letting somebody else come in. As I said before, the album is defined by the changing configurations, the fact that you have lots of duos and lots of trios within this quartet. And it's actually quite rare that all of the musicians play together, but when they do, it heightens the effect because you hear the sounds kind of being teased into life. There's the duo, there's the trio, there's another duo where they change the instruments, and then you have all four instruments together. And it's like a picture coming into focus.
Kevin, thank you so much for sharing this great album with Zakir Hussain. It's called Making Music, and it's shared with Jan Garbarek, John McLaughlin, Harry Prasad Chaurasia. And the last piece that we're going to hear is the title track called Making Music. And thank you, Kevin.
Thank you, Julian. Thank you.
from Zakir Hussain's Making Music album. And for details of all the tracks played on tonight's show, check out the playlist on the Jazz Lineup page via the Radio 3 website. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Julian Joseph, on FM, online and on digital radio. Well, I'm now downstairs in Studio 1 in this wonderfully large, equipment-filled, state-of-the-art, spacious building, the BBC's Pacific Key Studios in Glasgow. And it's time now for our live session with two talented beacons of the Scandinavian music scene. Saxophonist Marius Nicet, who literally caused positive fallout from his debut Golden Explosion, released on the British Editions Records label. He's gone on to thrill audiences with subsequent albums on the German Act label, full of intricate and exciting compositions. And he was recently awarded Norway's highest musical honour, the Spellemannprisen Award, for his album Lion, with the Trondheim Jazz Orchestra in good company, as other winners include Tord Gustafsson, Bugge Wesseltoft, and Jon Christensen. Daniel Herskedal is considered to be one of Norway's most gifted tuba players. He's a musician of virtuosity and imagination, and in many ways has many of the same musical associations as Nicet. He taught tuba for several years at the Rhythmic Conservatory in Copenhagen and is a talented composer and leader in his own right. Herskedal and Nicet are a perfect complement as musical collaborators, shown to full effect on their duet recording, Neck of the Woods, of 2012. But before I speak to them, let's hear their first piece, composed by Daniel Herskedal. This is Marius Nicet and Daniel Herskedal performing in Studio One at Pacific Key Studios, Glasgow, with Good Morning Denmark. The The saxophone of Marius Nesset and the tuba of Daniel Herskedal, and that was Good Morning Denmark. Now, whenever I think of the words good morning before the name of a country, I always think of a breakfast television show, Good Morning America, Good Morning Britain. So, Danny, you composed that tune. Yeah. What is the inspiration for that particular piece?
Oh, it's having a Danish pastry and black coffee and Danish view, pretty much. And of course, a sense of Danish folk music in it.
How did the two of you meet, Marius?
We both came out from Copenhagen. We studied in Copenhagen together a lot of years ago. And we played together with a lot of different musicians and, you know, in different kind of settings, also with people like Anton Eger, who's the drummer in my band, and Pato Ald, who is the bass. And we played in Django Bates' big band once a week. It was really great and a very creative time.
I can hear many of the influences of Django Bates in some of your approaches to music and playing. Where specifically with your saxophone playing would you say your influences stem from?
There's a lot of different influences. Right now it's impossible to say who is influencing most, but from the beginning when I started playing saxophone, it was the first couple of years when I was like 12 years old. Charlie Parker and Michael Brecker were two very important influences for me. And I remember, you know, many hours at my room home just playing along with the records of them and trying to sound like them. They were very influential.
Daniel, you taught at the Rhythmic Conservatoire in Copenhagen. That's also where you studied?
Yeah, it is. I also studied in Trondheim before that. Right. So it changed to Copenhagen and continued with the master's.
The tuba is not the usual featured instrument. It used to be in jazz. It used to be the most essential rhythm section instrument. But really, Howard Johnson, yourself, a few others in between, including Orrin Marshall. What's the tuba scene for you from your point of view?
I studied for 7 years. So it's very important that for me that I discovered every possibilities this instrument can give. Like, I took lessons from bass players and trumpet players, saxophone players, tried to learn as much as possible, and from that, choose what my sound is going to sound like. In the beginning, I thought I was a replacement for a double bass player, but now I feel like it's a combination of all those instruments, really.
Actually, you and I were speaking earlier about the whole Scandinavian music scene, and particularly the differences in the language. You were explaining to me that the written language across Sweden, Norway, Denmark are very similar, but they're all pronounced differently. And so that must make you sensitive to nuances in sound that must help your music.
Maybe, maybe not. I'm not sure. You know, in Norway, it's lots of different dialects. Mm-hmm. When I speak my dialect in Copenhagen, they would answer me in English and say, "Are you Swedish?" So, yeah, maybe we are sensitive to small details.
The album Neck of the Woods, you've got very specific tunes. You've got tunes that investigate different areas, choral sounds, all kinds of harmonic and folk musical exploits. So what is the process? Because both of you do projects outside of this. So when you come together, what is your process? What are you thinking? What do you want to achieve?
I think we work very good as a duo when the music is quite spontaneous in a way. In a big contrast, I think, to both of us solo projects, these songs are more simple and more open, more room for improvisation and freedom in the music. In the same way, we had some choir arrangement that was kind of the opposite thing, and we just got an idea. We wanted to do something with a choir, and the sound of tuba and saxophone works very well with the sound of the choir as well. So maybe we will do more of that in the future.
I think you should. Our show is a feature on Scandinavian music, the Scandinavian music scene, the artists in Scandinavia. What's your take on looking at the different musicians, the inspirational figures throughout the Scandinavian music scene?
Yeah, it's always difficult to answer that question, but probably from the back in the 70s when especially Jangar Bauer, I think, has had a very big role in kind of defining some kind of a Norwegian sound. Mm-hmm. Or that influenced a lot of Norwegian musicians, others like Bobo Stensson and Jan Johansson. I think it's maybe less different today, but that's probably because of internet and, you know, everything has become more. But you can, for example, in Denmark, there has traditionally been a lot of Americans living in Copenhagen.
Right.
And that has been very, done something to the Danish jazz scene, I think, back in the days, where in Norway, many musicians were maybe not that much influenced by Americans, but the same way they also played a lot with so it's hard to, almost impossible for me to answer.
Sure, I can see it's quite a undefinable flavor to sort of put into words, but I'm going to come to you, Daniel, and see if you can give us your focus on it.
I also think it's impossible to to answer there. I think many of the Norwegian jazz musicians are, even though they are not folk musicians, they are kind of flavored by the Norwegian original music and also the Sami music in the very north. So I think it's a combination of many things.
So what is it about the folk music in Norway, Sweden, across Scandinavia that is so attractive and so that comes through so strongly in the sound of musicians from Scandinavia?
You know, Norway is a very young country, so about 200 years. Before that, our capital was in Sweden and Denmark before that. So when we got real free country, every politician, every artist was really going for defining what Norwegian culture is. Like the time of Edvard Grieg,
sure.
He used folk music a lot. And I think that's part of the history, so the new history. So.
Sure. So its newness has kind of given birth to establishing some sense of identity. I can see what's happening. Anyway, I've put you through enough pain talking about that. Not to push the point, but you're going to do two tunes back to back. Marius, what are you going to do?
Actually, now we are going to do a tune that I composed for the Golden Explosion album, which is called Saxophone Intermezzo. That's because it was originally composed for four saxophones, which I did at the record, but now we're playing it as a duo. And after that, we're going to do a song by Daniel called Lutra Lutra.
Well, thank you. I'll hand it over to you, Marius Nesset and Daniel Hørskedal. God, you got to keep your wits about you. You just finished all there, all abruptly there. Yeah. What does Lutra Lutra mean?
This tune is very inspired by Balkan music. Lutra Lutra is a dog from Balkan.
Quite simple. And that was preceded by saxophone intermezzo. Well, guys, it's been such a pleasure having you here. And now you're going to indulge me on one of your pieces. What's this piece called and where does it come from?
This piece is called Christmas Song. It's a song composed by Daniel and it's also from our album Neck of the Woods.
Well, my thanks to both of you. Daniel Herskedal.
Thank you for having us.
Pleasure. And Marius Nasset.
Thank you very much for letting us come.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. It's good to have you here. So yeah, let's do Daniel's The Christmas Song. The Christmas Song. And thank you guys so much for indulging me there on that beautiful piece. And thank you both, Daniel Herskedal and Marius Nicette, for coming in and sharing your wonderful music and your wonderful collaboration. It's great to hear you make such great music. And I know, Daniel, you've got an album coming out on the Edition Records label later on in the year. And Marius, we already heard from your latest album, just came out a week ago or just recently, called Pinball, which sounds beautiful. So thank you very, very much, Daniel Herskedal and Marius Nicette. Well, that's almost the end of this week's jazz lineup, but there's plenty more jazz on BBC Radio 3 with Jeffrey Smith's Jazz tonight at midnight and Jazz on 3 on Monday night with Jez Nelson at 11. This week, Jez gives us a second chance to hear American saxophone icon Branford Marsalis in concert at the Queen Elizabeth Hall for the 2014 London Jazz Festival. He featured his excellent quartet with pianist Joey Calderazzo, Eric Rivas on bass, and a new face to the jazz scene with drummer Evan Sherman playing there. And on next week's jazz lineup, the second installment of a very special concert tribute to the legendary South African group The Blue Notes, recorded at the 2014 London Jazz Festival, featuring a band led by saxophonist Shabaka Hutchings. So, to conclude our Scandinavian special, we feature the piano-led Esbjörn Svensson Trio, known simply as EST. This band was not only a Swedish but a global phenomenon, cut down in their prime with the pianist's untimely death in 2008. Well, the music lives on, and the state of music in Scandinavia continues to thrive. This is EST and Gold Rap. From me, Julian Joseph, bye-bye.
That was Gold Wrap by the Swedish piano trio EST. Ending this week's jazz lineup, the programme was presented by Julian Joseph and produced in Glasgow by Cecile K. Dade. For more information on jazz lineup, just go to the programme page via the Radio 3 website. And jazz lineup will be back next Saturday evening at 6 o'clock here on BBC Radio 3.